Oh, you guys are muted.
Take this phone call. Finally. Hey, Janice.
This is going to be fun, two of us.
We've had roughly about like 12, like 10 to 15 participants in the last set of workshops. So,
well, we counted, I believe, 11 or 12 from.
I opened up the last two workshops. So real quickly, I'm Joel. I'm a grateful recovering addict. Thank you for everyone being here. Let's open up this workshop with a moment of silence, followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity.
To accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can.
And the wisdom to know the difference. And I'm here to welcome everybody and say thank you to our PR coordinators from Orlando and the region to have this presentation, which I know is going to be awesome because they had a lot to do with yesterday's Professionals Day that I was already saying turned out to be just absolutely wonderful. So thank you, and I'm going to give this to you.
Thank you. My name is Terry, and I'm an addict, and I am also the coordinator for public relations here in the Florida area, and this is?
I'm Cindy, and I am the co-coordinator.
So we were putting together this workshop, but we felt that we needed to start this workshop about what our PR statement is, and I'll do a brief reading of it just so that, you know, we can get this started. And it says, why public relations is important to the NA member. The Narcotics Anonymous message that any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our relations with the public enable us to share this message broadly so that those who might benefit from our program of recovery can find us. We perform public relations service to increase the awareness and credibility of the NA program. We share our message openly with the public at large, with prospective members, and with professionals. Maintaining an open, attractive attitude in these efforts help us create and improve relationships with those outside the fellowship. Establishing and maintaining a commitment to these relationships can help us further our primary purpose. The spiritual principle of our steps, traditions, and concepts guide us in pursuing our public relation aims and our effort to enhance NA's public image and reputation. These principles apply to our community and service efforts, as well as to the personal behavior and attitude of individual NA members. So we wanted to start off with that statement, and we know that with public relations, you know, we have our traditions, particularly the 11th, that is actually the cornerstone of our policy. But we also have others, you know, the third and fifth tradition that talks about our primary purpose, and the addict is who we really want to target with this, so that they come to meetings. So one thing that I've learned and I think is very important, that the 11th tradition, you know, speaks more to personal anonymity than fellowship anonymity. I know that when I was part of a PR group in another area, I guess members that were not exactly learned in this kind of in this particular subcommittee, and so they would kind of choke us on what we could and couldn't do, and there was a lot that they would say we couldn't do when we were asking for money and all that kind of stuff. So we thought that would, you know, kind of be fun is to take some scenarios and talk about the principles behind these scenarios, which is the backbone of public relations. And we'd love your input And, you know, and has anything similar happened to you? And if so, what did you all do? And things like that. So the first scenario has to do with the principle of cooperation. And so the scenario we have here is a group has been holding meetings in the same facility for several years. Recently, group members have neglected to properly maintain the facility, allowing members to discard cigarettes on the property, leave coffee cups around the meeting room, ride their motorcycles close to the doors. And the group shares the building with members of the public. And the facilities manager is upset by complaints about NA from the other occupants. So, you know, I guess here, you know, what is this cooperative spirit that we can do to kind of remedy this damage that's happening to, you know, with the facility and their image of us, right? So, like, what are some examples that we can do this repair of this damage? And one of the things I had come up with is because there was something about, you know, maybe we can, you know, well, whatever. But sorry about this. I'm a little nervous. So actually, I'd like to ask you guys, what are some of the things that we actually can do to repair a relationship with with the facility property management? Does anybody have anything? And I did remember what I was going to, a scenario, but. All right, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go with my scenario then. My home group in another area, we met at a church, and my home group meeting was at 12:30. It was called, you know, it was a lunch meeting. And by the way, on the first day, I brought my lunch because I thought literally it was a lunch meeting and I was wrong. So anyway, that was a good introduction to that meeting. But what was happening is that a lot of the people were leaving cigarette butts. They would like put their feet up against the wall. You know, when you're standing against the wall and you prop one of your feet up, that was what this, so the wall was being marked. And of course, you know, they had a daycare going on at the same time. So there were times where we really had to kind of try and repair the relationship with the pastor of the church. And so one of the things that we used to do is we had obviously people that would volunteer and go around and pick up the cigarette butts. And we had people that would, you know, clean up the scuffs and things like that. But one thing that my home group would do, and, you know, anyway, we would have one of our members of the group, he was someone who did floors. So we would, just before Easter, shine up the terrazzo floor that was in their fellowship hall where we met. So that's how we would repair our relationship with them and take care of it. And that's how they let us stay there. We were there for, oh my gosh, almost 30 years. It was just this diligent, constantly trying to clean everything up. And we had a lot of newcomers, you know, so when you try to tell them you can't smoke over here, you have to do that, you know, put your butts. And actually those were the ones we would ask, could you please go around and get the cigarette stuff off the ground? So they would learn. Does anybody else had a similar situation? Okay. Wow. You guys have good relationships with your meetings. I think that's awesome.
Wow. I can offer up one. My name's Elizabeth. I'm an addict. I'm from Montgomery area in Maryland. Ooh, hi, well. Everybody. So we have one church where we have been doing our holiday when we had in person, Thanksgiving, Christmas dinner, marathon meetings, New Year's, uh-huh. a lot. And we had uh-huh. good relationships with them. And at one of the holiday dinners, someone, I forget exactly what they did. I think something was stolen or damaged. I think because we ended up, I think what I would say just to cut to the chase is if there is a problem, to address it right away. Right. And the people who communicated with that church addressed it right away and sat down with them. And I remember there was a financial amends. There was something that was broken mm-hmm. and we made financial amends. And I can also remember a couple places where I was too early in recovery to know what the situation was, but we lost the space.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So those yes. are my stories.
I'll say, and my home group, they eventually lost it as well. Unfortunately, someone who was seeking recovery but was not clean yet kind of wandered into the daycare playground where all the kids were. So that was it. Yeah. There's no repairing that. Rod, I see you have your hand up.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Rod, and I am an addict, and I'm from New Jersey.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yes. The one thing that I know that through my area in New Jersey, we always we tell our members that we have to when we go into a facility, we have to leave it better than it was when we got there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that means that we have to clean up. After mm-hmm. the meeting, we have to make sure that the garbage is taken out and stuff like that. And a lot of times, you know, addicts do act like children.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not about beating them up, but it's about allowing them to know, hey, if you continue to do these, you put our fellowship in at a place that we can lose the facility,
right?
And we have to look and we have to look for another meeting place. And sometimes, you know, our reputation do follow us if we don't abide by rules and regulations of the facility. And a lot of people think because we rent space that they don't have no say-so, mm-hmm. in which we are renters, you know, and we have to make sure that we take care of the facility so that we can continue that relationship. You know, I do know because I'm on the email list for another area, which is in another state, the state that's bombing is New York. And what their PR, their public relations did, because their area did an event at a school, and they told them that there's that in one part of the facility there's no smoking. And what happened, they found out that it was smoking, that members was going over and smoking and leaving the evidence. and it was brought to the area's attention, and also the public relations, and public relations wrote a letter to the area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what you got to do. Yeah. You know, because, you know, we represent the, you know, they look at us and we're in A. So, you know, if we're kind of leaving some trash behind, that's a problem.
You know, I've seen them. Elizabeth, you were talking about other meetings. Like we had a meeting place here in Orlando. This happened twice in the Orlando area. that the facility, when we started, allowed us to have subcommittee meetings there. Some activities were held there. Another home group met there. So I think that sometimes as public relations, as our area, when we see that, I get overly cautious or that we're having too many things going on in one facility.
Right.
You know, I think it's a dangerous, it's a dangerous thing, because right now we've lost a meeting place with a fairly large meeting. And a lot of it was because the facility wasn't locked up properly. And it was actually a different area using than the facility as well. So you don't, it's NA as a whole. Mm-hmm. It affected NA as a whole, you know, and it affected a lot of meetings, subcommittee meetings, home group meetings. Mm-hmm. So those are, you know, there's slippery places to go. I feel like when there's more than one thing going on in a facility, more than one group, scary stuff. There's not a lot of accountability that way.
Right.
Well, if nobody has anything else to say, I have another scenario. Okay. And this I have seen for sure. A group member sees a copy of a church bulletin and becomes alarmed because an NA group that meets in the facility is listed in the bulletin. The member brings this matter to the group's business meeting to discuss traditions that may have been violated. Members believe that a few traditions could be violated, including affiliation. So, you know, is this really affiliation or is it merely providing information to the public? And in the manner that I have seen these things in the bulletin, in a church bulletin, was merely like their calendar and what's going on with the facility itself. And it, you know, didn't say, so, you know, the church of whatever is hosting an NA meeting. It was just merely, this is our parish calendar and this is what goes on, you know, each week. So what do you guys think? I mean, or do you think it's truly like, you know, breaking some sort of anonymity or, you know, I guess I know on this particular bulletin that I saw, there were other groups, other fellowships on there. So we weren't the only ones, but has anybody encountered anything like that, you know, in your area? And what did you guys do? Rod.
I'm Rod again. The one thing that that I can say in New Jersey, that same thing happened. About somebody saw that that the church had put it in their bulletin and was I would say just putting information out there about that they had a meeting going on at the facility, especially at a church. The one thing that we had that was what was said is that it's not about them promoting they're allowing people, even members of the church that have a problem, that there is a place that they can come to and get the help and the support that they need. You know. And we have to look at that when we go into facilities like halfway houses or even detoxes and rehabs. Mm-hmm. We want them to tell their clients about us. you know, so that they can come to the that they can come to the meetings, you know, and why not allow the church, because if they're in a community that reaches folk, what better way of allowing them to say that we have a meeting at their facility? You know, it's you know, because the one thing that we have to understand is that a lot of the facilities that we have corroborated with, they don't know our traditions. Are we truly breaking a tradition? Are we allowing the information to go out so that people know that Narcotics Anonymous is here to do a service so that that people can recover? Because recovery is possible.
Right. Yeah, we definitely want to get our face out there. You know, I just think that, you know, some people who may be not as informed on certain things. I mean, obviously, like if the church says, you know, we host this meeting every week, that's affiliation. So that's definitely a no-no. But if they're just doing some sort of calendar like that, what is our message? You know, we want to reach that addict who's seeking, you know, it's our only requirement for membership is that desire to stop using. And if they see something's available, you know, or I'm sure most of us have encountered this. There's, you know, somebody comes to you and says, listen, I've got a daughter that's an addict. What do I do? You know, I guess because my husband and I, we've broken our anonymity at our church. So that's what we have a lot of. But let's see.
Welcome.
Yeah. Elizabeth, you have your hand up.
Unmute myself. Addict Elizabeth.
There you go.
So when it's interesting. In Florida, I'm sure you have a lot of hybrid, if not in-person meetings. Up in Maryland, we're still in stage two. Right. We haven't gotten out of stage two. Right. And we have 60 meetings a week in our area. I've been working on a digital outreach, PR program. So I have all these Google documents. One is an article of what is NA, right? What is NA, mm-hmm. how it works, where our resources are. Right. And right now it doesn't matter where the meetings are. You know, you go to our webpage and you pick a meeting in Africa or wherever in the county.
Yes, right, yes. Right.
But what I decided to do, and this is very recently in the last couple of weeks, I've gone online, and this is the way this program works. I've gone online to the different churches that used to host us in person, mm-hmm. found their webpage, went to their webpage, found the editor of their webpage, sent them an article that was prefaced by, you know, we so appreciated being able to use your facility right. for our meetings, but it's been over a year now. Hopefully, you know, we'll resume these soon. But here's an article that explains what Narcotics Anonymous is and how to get to our digital meetings.
Right.
Please consider posting it in your Facebook, your webpage, your online communications. And instead of a poster or a little pen, what is it? Yeah, a poster in a church, it's being disseminated to everybody in the church. And these editors of these online, we're up here, it's been a year. We've been doing digital everything from, mm-hmm. you know, what is it, DRT, you know, drug replacement therapy to whatever, right. drug court, everything is online. And right. these poor online people, where's Michelle? There you go. That, you know, they're exhausted and they've run out of material. So they love this. They love this. And right. this is the tail end of a huge project. We reached out to drug court, to parole and probation. Right. All these yeah. things, all online. And we've reached all these, it's better than printed.
right. You know, there's a lot of things that we have done that are online, our subcommittee meetings, different things. Well, our regional meeting has been Zoom. Yeah. That, you know, I feel as though it has worked. I think we miss the physical interaction, of course, because we're so accustomed to that and we love it. But I do think it has opened up the world of recovery, and we can share things with other areas and other members that we normally didn't. They can attend our region or fellowship development where they normally, maybe they couldn't have done it. They couldn't be there with us. So I don't think it's ever going to go away totally. I hope not. But I do look forward to some in-person things going on.
I wanted to add that I've learned from doing this digitally, because like the churches tell me, oh, I didn't realize that a parent or a spouse or a friend could attend and bring whomever, or just attend a meeting. Little pieces like that.
Little bit of information. Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, yesterday, even for the professionals day, our mayor and one of the sheriffs, they are so accustomed to doing Zoom meetings now, just like we are, that they're probably better trained and qualified at it than we are, because they've been doing it.
Right.
And they do it. And they do it quite well. And we were able to share information to help them prepare with it about Narcotics Anonymous that made it like right on point.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think it's been a learning experience.
Yeah.
For a lot of us on other ways of reaching.
Exactly.
And I look forward to learning more about the different things that we can do with public relations in Zoom and technology. You know, it's be good.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Julie, you have your name up, hand up, sorry.
Thank you. Addict named Julie B. There's a difference on a church calendar of NA meeting or the name of the group. So, you know, there's a big difference because, you know, NA is not anonymous. I am anonymous.
Right.
So therefore, and, you know, we encourage, you know, the, you know, we want to encourage the public to know about us.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And to know about our availability. And it is in one of the bulletins and it isn't in our introduction and public relations. So, you know, and it's just educating our members, especially our newer members. Oh, that's not supposed, you know, we don't understand those things when we come here. So it's a lot of little bit of hand holding, and repetition strengthens and confirms. I'm anonymous, NA is not anonymous.
Right.
As long as our group name is not there, they can utilize it. They you know, it's their business. They're accountable to their members, like we're accountable.
Right, right.
To our members. So it's, you know, it's a clear, it's the message just needs to be clear. And the simpler, you know, and the reason, like, for example, why do we meet in churches? Because the rent is cheap.
Right.
Right, right.
You know, that's plain and simple. And that's
And they're a part of the community.
Yeah, and when we're on the phone line, when I've had the privilege to be a phone line member and serve on the phone line, is like when I say, well, we meet at such and such a church, and then I go, by the way, we meet at churches because the rent is cheap.
Right.
You know, we're not affiliated with the church. It's that the rent is cheap. So those are things we kind of like seep into the message of, you know, this is the reason we meet at churches.
Right.
So, you know, if they have it on their calendar in NA meeting that they're renting this space because they need to be accountable. So that's what we explain to the newcomer.
Right.
And that's what we explain to our members. You know, they're being accountable like we're accountable. That's why we have a secretary's report. That's why we have a treasurer's report. That's why we have a GSR, you know, and it's just that simple. But we like to really complicate things.
Yes.
You know, and we get all, you know, the semantics of it. And then we go to Dramageddon right away. You know, it's like we love to go to Dramageddon.
We love to grab a tradition really quick.
Right. And yes, our traditions are not negotiable.
Right. No.
They are not negotiable, but that's not negotiating a tradition.
Right.
You know,
yes.
You know, and we need to let this, you know, the community know that we're available.
Yes, we do.
And so thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Okay. Here's an, this one's kind of the same one. So this one is interesting. It says, a local PR committee is offered a free exhibit booth at a health fair being hosted by a hospital. Many community providers, such as treatment centers, health screening tables, and social service agencies of the city will be present. However, NA is the only organization being offered a free booth. The teenage son of the hospital CEO is a member of NA, and the table is being offered free to NA because the CEO is very grateful. How do we, you know, should we allow like these free booths since our time and our services are free as well? Should we insist on paying, saying that we're self-supporting? You know, so I've been to a function while representing the Florida PR, and they gave us a free booth. And as it turns out, everybody else was free, so that was nice. But we were, you know, let's face it, like we have another function that's coming up, I think in August, and just a 6-foot tabletop is nearly $1,700. So, you know, sometimes it's nice to get a little bit of a break on that. But, you know, these things, they do cost money. But personally, I don't see a problem with it so long as we're not necessarily being endorsed by the hospital. You know, if these are, you know, I don't know. What do you say?
Here's the
I think we're going to disagree on this.
I definitely, when a member or a child of someone is in our meetings and that we are treading dangerously over accepting any kind of form of payment for that, because I do know, and I've seen this happen, that if something were to happen to this child, using relapse, whatever, all of a sudden it becomes our fault. And you know, we don't carry a message for money or favors. So there are ways, and I know of groups that do not, you know, they don't bring in a lot in their baskets. So one of the ways, and we've done this at different facilities or different community centers, is we leave them literature, you know. There are things that we can do to, they may not accept cash. We had an activity at a community center here in the city of Orlando, and they don't accept money for it, but there are things that we can do that for that community center. And what that was, they had meals. It was at Thanksgiving time. They were having meals for the community. So we went grocery shopping. You know, we bought food to help provide for their function. So that was the exchange. But I do think that whenever we accept something from a company, a corporation, a hospital, that we're treading on something that could definitely scar us.
Rod?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rod.
Yes. The one thing that that comes to mind is that, and I like what you said, is that the one thing that you said, it is up to us if we're going to accept it or not, you know. And we are self-supporting. We decline outside contributions, but also, you know, groups are autonomous also. You know, and we use a group conscience on if we want to do it or not. You know, and with that, this is powerful, because also just I don't know your names, I can't. But the last one that spoke, where she was talking about giving literature and stuff like that. That's how we do our due diligence, mm-hmm. You know, and allowing people to know who Narcotics Anonymous is. That we are here, and we are doing a service for those that that's in need.
All right, thank you. Anybody else? All right, I'll go on to another scenario. This is something we dealt with recently. It says a local television station is producing a series on addiction, and one of its featured segments is Narcotics Anonymous, a community resource. In this segment, an NA member is featured as spokesperson for the NA community. And the interview is conducted showing the member's full face. The member who was interviewed has no problem with breaking his anonymity. Be still my heart. That to me breaks a lot. You know, we cannot have a spokesperson, you know, especially if you're putting yourself out there in public. You know, again, like, you know, Julie was saying, you know, it's anonymous for me, you know, and if I want to break my anonymity, which I've done on several occasions, that's fine. But, you know, we cannot have that spokesperson that, you know, is going to speak on, like, on behalf of NA, except the only exceptions I can think of is never publishing a full, you know, never having a full name. If they wanted to go by, you know, John D. I could kind of see something there, or just like a blackout screen, or, you know, what I've seen it on things where the camera is like from the waist down and not showing a face. We recently had an issue where a television station.
News channel.
Yeah, news channel really blew it and nearly, did they reveal his?
They didn't totally reveal, but those of us who knew.
Yeah.
Definitely knew the shape of the glasses. The glasses were shown on the face and you could see the interior of their home. And you could see through the windows the exterior of their home. So
yeah,
you know, we knew who it was and where it was. And Joel, are we over time, Joel? Girl?
No.
No?
No, we still got time.
Joel's with us. Go ahead.
You got plenty of time.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. Is there anybody that has seen this or experienced this in your area?
That's short of wire. Hand.
There you go. Hey, that's what I thought.
I just, you know, in my journey in recovery, I've done a lot of PR, and actually as far back as when it was called PI. And I could have spoken on all of them and I kept biting my tongue, but on this one, I just couldn't do it anymore. I raised my hand before you asked for hands, because it's real important. You know, mm-hmm. I saw something happen not quite a while ago. It wasn't related to this particular fellowship, where someone actually spoke in front of, and she was, you know, a well-known performer, spoke in front of Congress, you know, mm-hmm. And a year later, she was busted at LA airport with dope, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, someone could be, you know, passionate about our fellowship, be in recovery with both feet, but we can't take a chance. You know, the fact of the matter is we're all susceptible to relapse, you know, yeah. And the way the press and the public is when it comes to, you know, addiction, we've had to overcome and we're still overcoming it, the stigma of you know, addicts, addiction, you know. I could go back to the 80s when I the first time I came around, I had a dear friend of mine who he didn't relapse. He's still in the rooms. He's still here in NA, where he had to hide the fact that he was an addict. And even so, he came to NA because the drugs were the issue. The company he worked for, which is a very well-known financial company, he could only admit that it was because of alcohol. You know, right. We've come a long way since then. However, we can't take a chance of someone being named and possibly thought of as a representative from Narcotics Anonymous. And right. Because again, you know what? We all have another run in ours. Hopefully it won't happen for any of us
right.
that are sitting here, but that's a reality. And we can't take that chance. This is a fellowship where if something like that happens and it's printed, it hurts all of us. And it hurts the fellowship as a whole. I'll never forget when I was regional PR, and I was asked to, as I was regional PR resource coordinator at the time, and I was asked to as a community, because I'm a professional as well in the field, asked to speak at for those of you in Florida, at Mosey. When they had the Addiction in America thing and they had this big presentation and they wanted to honor someone that was an addict that was in recovery, that was giving back to the community, not only professionally, but also on their own. And I actually went and I spoke to, some of you know Ron, because I was in a dilemma. What do? I'm going to be speaking in front of the press and in front of everyone. And Ron gave me some really good suggestions at the time. And I ended up, yes, doing it, but I never mentioned Narcotics Anonymous. I was just someone in recovery.
Right, right.
You see, so you can represent someone in recovery, but don't name Narcotics Anonymous.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? So there are ways around it, but we need to tread lightly, because I got to be honest with you, anyone that wears a NA t-shirt, well, this one doesn't say anything, but believe it or not, they're doing PR.
Right.
I don't care who
they are.
They're wearing an NA t-shirt, they're doing PR. God forbid that person, you know, does something wrong in the street. They're not going to say his name and he did this. They're going to say a member of Narcotics Anonymous.
That's right.
It's going to read in the paper. I hate to say it, but that's the way it's going to read in the paper. And our traditions are not negotiable.
That's you right.
Know? That's what keeps our fellowship alive and free. Right. And I'm passionate about this because I've done so much PR and I've come across those dilemmas, you know? So, I can only share my experience, you know, with it. However, I know that my experience with it has proven over time that the stuff that I've gone through and the precautions that have been taken and the things I was taught by my predecessors are very valid today, right. You know, and as it says in our preamble, you know, it doesn't eliminate all the problems. You know, we have difficulties as they arise, you know, communication mm-hmm. problems, differences of opinion, internal controversies, and all of this stuff. However, you know, we need to protect this fellowship because it's saving our lives and it will right. save more lives. And if right. we don't protect that, you know, we're at risk of killing people if, God forbid, we're not here anymore. And I don't think anything would take Narcotics Anonymous out. We thrive. But we don't need to hurt ourselves either. You know,
right.
We need to be careful about that. And PR, PI, I mean, is yeah. the place where it could happen. So we need to be careful and we need to workshops about it. We need to do, I know when I was PR resource coordinator, I went to every area in Florida and did a workshop that actually Jane brought, Jane Nicholson, right, to the symposium in 2009, I think it was. And then I was resource coordinator at that time for PR, and I took it to every area in Florida region, except for Bermuda. Unfortunately. I'll shut up because I can go on forever.
Yeah, we all can. We all can. PR is a, you know, passion, I think. These people that are interested, any of you all that are interested in PR or you're doing PR, where Terry and I have been reading for the last month and going over these things is from our handbook, Public Relations Handbook, mm-hmm, the chapter 2, the core principles and PR, you know, and how easy that was for us. We all have scenarios, you know, I've done PR in Greater Orlando area, and I can come up with all these scenarios of the things that we saw here, but these core principles that are available to us, mm-hmm, as public relations, mm-hmm, in our handbook. And it was as simple as sitting down and going to World Services, going to the website and putting in there, what are some workshops? You know, what are some things that public relations can do as far as who we are and what we do? And those core principles came up. And so I think it's real important as a subcommittee, public relations, we did this early on. We would take parts of it, and each subcommittee meeting, we were talking about them and reading them.
Right.
And I feel like that's really important, that we can all come up with a story, but what principle is behind that? You know, what are we doing? And we don't want to do anything to hurt Narcotics Anonymous.
Right.
Because that's definitely not our primary purpose. And we can mess up our primary purpose if we're not careful.
Yep.
We have to be cautious. So,
Elizabeth, you have your hand up.
Sure, Addict Elizabeth. So I just want to bring up some gray areas. Last week, we attended the Channel 4 Health Zoom Expo, which was a complete waste of time, I think, frankly. Mm-hmm. No one came. But anyway, what I'm getting to is when we sign up for our booth, which was free, it was free to everybody, I have to use my full name, number, address, everything, right? Mm-hmm. When I'm communicating with facilities online, we have a good relationship with the county. The county, there's a big council, all the behavioral health people. I have to use my full name. I can't sign Elizabeth L. Anyway, my email will say who I am anyway, right? So I mean, I'm a semi-retired person, so I mean it doesn't impinge on my personal stuff, and I'm not publicly representing NA so much as communicating with these people, and I feel I have to, as a professional to professional, use my full name, not come over as Elizabeth L. in my communications. So that's just my experience here.
Thank you very much. And Arnie, I see your hand is up.
It is. Thank you, I agree. And I agree with Joel, PI people could just talk forever. I didn't get involved with this until it became PR because I just couldn't take the PI people. I was chair of HNI out in British Columbia, and we ended up having to do a road trip with the PI chair at the time, and he just talked the whole trip, and it was a 9-hour drive, and just, you know, talking about chasing people away from service. But, you know, when we're talking about this kind of stuff, when we're talking about public relations, when we're talking about how we interact with the public, I think I'm really glad that you brought up the handbook, because yes, that's why we've got the handbook. That's why the handbook's there. Page 45 on the handbook goes into great depth about other people's experiences, yes, on this topic, on being in front of the camera, on some options that we can try to take advantage of instead of, you know, having a full face interview.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you know, there are times when I know that we have done those. We've done those at the world level a couple of times from my recollection. And none of them are done without, none of them are done or agreed to as an individual saying, hey, this is a good idea, I'm going to do it. It's something that has to have a lot of input, first of all, and make sure that we're doing the right thing for the right reasons. And I just wanted to add to the NA t-shirt being part of public relations, because while I was in British Columbia, we actually had the RD alternate who was charged with a crime and ended up being on the front page of the Vancouver newspaper. And Vancouver is a very big city.
Yeah.
And she's on the front page of a Vancouver newspaper with the bottom of the page saying murder, and she's wearing an NA t-shirt.
Ooh.
Boy.
that was a little bit of a PR nightmare.
Ooh, yeah.
But, you know, stuff happens. A lot of people understand that the organization that we are, and that, you know, the third tradition couldn't lower the bar low enough to allow the people that we get here. So, you know what? These are all good questions. And the more that we talk through scenarios, the more that we, you know, some people share what works for them and what doesn't work for them. Ultimately, it makes us a more reliable, more respected organization. Right. So this is a great workshop. Thank you guys for putting
Thank
this
you.
On.
Thanks Thank for you. Being with us.
Yes, thank you. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add? If not, we can end the workshop.
You know, bringing up the PR handbook, doing PR here in Greater Orlando area, as well as the Florida region. I don't know. When I came in, we hadn't had a very active PR subcommittee. And, you know, without that handbook, I don't know what I personally would have done. You know, where was I going to learn? I had people that I knew had done PR in Orlando area that was definitely helpful, and I would have never taken the position without them, without their assistance. But the letters that are in there, the scenarios of everything you could possibly think of, you know, we all sit back sometimes and want an original idea. We can come up with something. I think public relations, we're very fortunate in Narcotics Anonymous that the information's there. The help is there.
Right.
And I love it. I love how much time has been spent on putting that together. And, you know, in Orlando area, we are, and I guess a Florida region will be pretty much doing it with the YAP phone line, that we have combined our PR and our phone line as a same subcommittee. And so all of that has been available to help us through that transition. And it's really appreciated. And I suggest anybody that's interested in PR, you can go online and look at that handbook. Mm-hmm. It is, I think, some of our in service, some of the best literature we have available for us for service.
Well, oh, Jay. Okay, Jay, go for it. Oh, yeah, unmute yourself. There you go.
Hey, thanks everyone for having this wonderful meeting. First time at the Florida Service Symposium.
Oh, welcome.
Had to be electronically because I couldn't travel before, but
right.
Oh, it's been wonderful. It it reminded me of some of the mistakes that we've made over the past. When the TV crew shows up and we have a wonderful PR table, you know, we learned over the years of interacting with the well-known anchor person, right? She comes up to interview us and we tell her, you know, hey, no face shots, but we forgot to tell the camera person. Yeah. So we learned that one time that no matter who we talk to, the camera person has to be the one also.
That's smart. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that happen.
And one of our meetings that met in a Christian coffee shop, they were so happy that, you know, it was well attended with NA members and, you know, it was a win-win situation. It was a safe place for us to congregate. But the owner had printed up these brochures, Home to Narcotics Anonymous. Yeah. So our PR chair addressed that quickly and effectively and respectfully. And they just quit printing them and removed it. You know, it was no big deal. And I think that's about it. My understanding of getting free space is if it's offered to others in the community,
right.
We're allowed to have it also.
Yes, right.
So, anyways, thanks for doing all this. This is great. This is the first workshop, and I'm looking forward to all the other ones, the YAP one. We love YAP in South Carolina.
Well, I hope you can join us in a couple of years in person. It's
I hope
my favorite function.
Well, I've got both of my COVID shots as of January, and it covers parvo, distemper, rabies, and I think
good.
I'll be allowed to travel.
We are hopefully the Florida Service Symposium 10 will be in person.
I sure hope so.
We got 2 years. Yeah.
Josh, we appreciate the fact that you all came on out and supported us. And, you know, we hope you learned a little something, or I know I learned a few things listening to you guys. So with that, I guess, we can close. Serenity prayer? Why not? We'll close with the serenity prayer.
Unmute yourself, since you're the mic.
Yeah, you can unmute yourself, and that would be terrific. So a moment of silence, and then we will say the serenity prayer. God, grant serenity to accept
the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you all again. See you all soon.
Guys, that was awesome. Yeah.